think it was really a natural partnership because I've been using SodaStream for probably 5 or 6 years, and it's a product I found on my own just because I like carbonated water, but I hated the waste of bottles. It's a product that I stand by, that I use, that I believe in, and it's just nice when that happens, I think. It was sort of a fateful relationship, I guess.
This was Scarlett Johansson talking about her recent partnership with SodaStream. If partnering with SodaStream is Scarlett's choice to fight against the waste of bottles, it's certainly not the way to go for Oxfam, who is against Israeli settlements in the West Bank, a violation of international law. Aidan McDonald from the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid explains why it's a problem.
The fundamental problem with SodaStream and its main production facility is that it's the facility is located in an Israeli settlement in the occupied Palestinian West Bank. And the settlement is called Male Adumim. And the issue with the settlement and sort of the fundamental problem with the fact that fact located in the settlement is that there's a fairly clear international consensus that the settlements are illegal under international law and that they violate the Fourth Geneva Convention. So as the settlements continue to expand further and further onto Palestinian land, Palestinian access to their own lands and their own resources subsequently, you know, shrinks away as a result. So by choosing to locate its factory in one of these settlements, SodaStream is effectively choosing to help entrench the infrastructure of occupation. It's helping to expand the illegal occupation over the Palestinian people. It's choosing to help the exploitation of Palestinian lands and resources and the growth of the apartheid system that's being imposed in Palestine. So for all of these factors, SodaStream becomes, you know, a target for a boycott campaign. And that's what we saw leading to, you know, the pressure that led to Scarlett Johansson choosing to end her relationship with Oxfam.
In a statement called Clearing the Air, Scarlett Johansson said, I quote, I remain a supporter of economic cooperation and social interaction between a democratic Israel and Palestine. SodaStream is a company that is not only committed to the environment, but to building a bridge to peace between Israel and Palestine, supporting neighbors working alongside each other, receiving equal pay, equal benefits, and equal rights. That is what is happening in their Maale Adumim factory every working day. I asked Thomas Woodley for Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East how he reacted to this statement.
You know, anytime there's a human rights abuse, there are people that sort of justify it in one way and people that sort of say, no, there's a principle here, which is this is something that is fundamentally offensive to the human rights of certain people. And so in this case, yes, there may be a few hundred Palestinians that draw a salary from SodaStream. But is this fundamentally the right thing for the Palestinians? You have 2.5 million other Palestinians in the West Bank that, you know, can't get to their land, say farmers that can't get to their lands because of settlements. You have people that can't get to hospitals, you know, people that can't move around freely because of Israel's illegal settlements. So you certainly couldn't say that these are somehow a bridge to peace. It's a company which is SodaStream, which is engaging in illegal activity, which is the seizure of land, the establishment of factories on that land, in some cases the contamination and the leveraging lax environmental restrictions because you're on land that doesn't belong to you. You know, they're doing all these things, and so I certainly don't think that Ms. Johansson can justify it somehow being a bridge to peace. It's a company that's doing business and doing business on land that it doesn't own.
Aidan McDonald explains that, for one thing, SodaStream is not treating all of its workers the same way, which is an additional example of the apartheid system itself. But even if workers did have equal rights, that wouldn't be the fundamental issue.
I mean, I think we've seen these videos that SodaStream has put out that says that it, you know, it treats all of its workers the same and all of these sorts of things. But we also, I think, there are things out there also that show that once those workers are interviewed off the premises of SodaStream, then we can see that things like the Palestinian workers are often the ones who are doing the most menial jobs. They aren't the ones in the sort of decision-making or management positions. We can see things like there have been allegations that the religious rights of Muslim Palestinians are not respected on the shop floor in the SodaStream factory. So there's, I think, a lot of issues that we can look at that sort of undercut those arguments that there is equal treatment between the workers. But again, the fundamental point is not the working conditions of the workers. The fundamental point is this factory is located in a settlement. The settlements are illegal under international law. The factory and SodaStream is profiting off of an illegal situation. It's profiting off of the backs of the occupation of Palestine. It's profiting. It's choosing to profit from the colonization of Palestinian land.
Thomas Woodley explains why the very fact that SodaStream is located in the West Bank is an exploitation.
This SodaStream then benefits from this whole sort of what some people call a matrix of control. So SodaStream says, well, gosh, we can get land cheaply and we can get labor cheaply, and so we'll set up in these next to these settlements as well. And so they benefit from the confiscation of Palestinian land, and they're not benefiting the Palestinian economy. Even though they're located on Palestinian land, they're paying taxes to Israel, and you know the ownership of the company is in Israel. So in terms of exploitation, just the very fact that they're in the West Bank is an exploitation.
Scarlett Johansson decided to stand by her judgment of SodaStream and stepped down from her position as Oxfam's global ambassador. When the actress first started representing SodaStream, Oxfam engaged in a dialogue with her before she was asked to resign. Here's Thomas Woodley's take on it.
Oxfam is a friend to the Palestinians. Oxfam has spoken out for Palestinian human rights. So I wouldn't be too quick to criticize Oxfam for, you know, not acting quickly enough. I think in the end, Ms. Johansson, I guess the way it worked out is Johansson said that she felt it was incompatible, the two things, so she dropped Oxfam. Surely Oxfam must have communicated pretty clearly with her about how they felt about it, and she felt compelled to drop Oxfam. So I'm reluctant to sort of, as I say, attack your friends. I think Oxfam ultimately, the right thing, something that had to happen happened. I just wish Johansson had dropped SodaStream rather than Oxfam, but ultimately she was forced to make a choice. So, you know, I think quote unquote dialogue is okay too, in terms of, you know, some of these actresses, some of these celebrities, they don't necessarily know what they're getting into when they sign up to be a, you know, global ambassador of this or that, and it's a way to educate. And I think how much more powerful it could have been if Johansson had, as I say, decided to drop SodaStream rather than Oxfam and sort of say, you know what, now that I understand what's going on, I can no longer stand by SodaStream. I can no longer be their global ambassador. So that's the way I personally feel about it. I know sometimes people, they want to be very quick to sort of say, no, they should have dropped her immediately and this and that. But I think working with her and trying to get her to come around was probably the better long-term strategy.
I asked Aidan McDonald what he thought this controversy did for the BDS movement.
It's actually been quite incredible how the BDS movement has really been thrown into the mainstream because of this whole controversy. So we've had articles in the New York Times, and we've had articles in the Guardian, and all sorts of newspapers all across North America and Europe about this very controversy. So the fact that, you know, the very fact that this controversy emerged was, I think, an incredible boost, actually, for the BDS movement. Scarlett Johansson had dropped SodaStream rather than Oxfam. I think, you know, that would have said a lot about her personal convictions and her personal principles. Whether or not it would have done more for the BDS movement, I think that the controversy itself generated an incredible amount of support for the BDS movement as it is. So I think there's a lot to be said for how things played out the way that they did.
Thomas Woodley speaks about the relevancy of the ongoing cultural boycott of Israel, a part of the broader BDS movement.
The boycott campaign overall towards Israel has several elements. There's the academic boycott, the consumer boycott, and then the cultural boycott. And the cultural boycott is particularly effective with Israel because Israel has a proud cultural tradition. Just like they say with South Africa, the sports boycott of South Africa was very effective because South Africa had a proud sports tradition. In the same way, Israel has, you know, a large number of very, you know, eminent composers and performers and so on, and they're very proud of that. And so for people on the, you know, performing side of things that start saying, you know, I'm not going to come to Israel because I disagree with what the government is doing, that sort of goes to the heart of many Israelis. So the cultural boycott is very effective because it's very visible. People learn about it when someone like Stevie Wonder cancels, or Roger Waters cancels, or Elvis Costello cancels. That raises eyebrows. There's articles that are written about that. And so it's very important.
Neil Young has a concert set in Tel Aviv, Israel, on July 17th. Supporters of Palestinian rights have called out for him to cancel this show. Aidan McDonald spoke about this cultural picket line and how Israel must be held accountable to concretely support the movement for Palestinian liberation.
Palestinians have called for an international sort of cultural picket line across Israel. And so because of that, they're asking artists to not cross that cultural picket line. So in Neil Young's case, I think he's done an incredible amount of work, you know, especially recently. He's been, you know, very laudably and to his credit, very vocal in opposition to the tar sands and in support of indigenous rights in Canada. So the idea is that, you know, if he's in support of indigenous rights in Canada, then he should also be supportive of indigenous rights in Palestine and the rights of the indigenous Palestinian people. And so thereby, you know, we ask him to not cross that cultural picket line by playing a show in Israel.
How is this kind of cultural boycott effective, according to you?
People like Neil Young, who play a prominent role in shaping, who can play a prominent role in shaping people's, in bringing things to people's attention that they may not otherwise think about, that they have a role, they have a responsibility in helping to hold Israel accountable, to hold Israel accountable sort of in the court of public opinion, which is a court that I think we know that Israel pays a lot of close attention to. We've seen how just in the past few weeks or so, the Israeli government has convened special meetings on how to counter the boycott's threat, because it sees the BDS movement as a real threat to how Israel is perceived in the international community. So if we can continue this work, continue to hold Israel accountable in that court of public opinion, we can really sort of start to change how people understand the situation in Palestine, and we can really concretely help support the movement for Palestinian liberation.
Boycotting Israel might have an effect on its government, but it's also most certainly going to have an effect on its citizens. Are you worried that if the Israeli public starts to feel targeted, that could lead to a stronger nationalist shift?
Well, I mean, I think we're seeing right now the most right-wing government, perhaps the most nationalist, among the most nationalist governments that we've ever seen in Israel.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the pendulum is swinging that way regardless of what the boycott movement is doing. And I think, you know, what we're seeing in Israel at the same time as we're seeing this very conservative shift is we're also seeing an upswing in groups and people within Israel who also support the boycott movement, whether it's the boycott of settlements or a full-on boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. That movement from within is growing. So I think these are forces that are playing out within Israel, and that, you know, our role in the international community is not to sort of to shape our principles based on what the political dynamics within Israel are. Our role is to, you know, we understand that Palestinians have asked us to support a call for boycott. So that's what we can do. We can help to support that. And the chips will fall as they will in Israel proper. And I think eventually what we will see is a clear consensus or a clear understanding that the status quo is not sustainable with Israel. Like, things can't continue this way. Things need to change, and the boycott is going to play an important role in shaping how things do shift.
Aidan, there seems to be some disagreements within the boycott movement itself. Some people don't want to boycott Israel overall. Some people, for example, disagree with the cultural boycott or just want to boycott products made in settlements. What's your take on the boycott?
The understanding of the BDS movement is not just that it's not just the settlements that are the problem. It's not just the occupation of the West Bank that's the problem. We need to understand the apartheid system as, you know, how it applies in Israel proper, how it applies to the Palestinian refugees, how it applies in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. So this is a more fulsome sort of understanding of the way that the oppression of the Palestinian people is implemented. So that the sort of official BDS movement or the broader BDS movement is not just confined to settlement boycotts. So those like Oxfam, for example, who advocate for a settlement boycott, that's certainly not something that anybody within the BDS movement would oppose. That's still important work, and that's still important principled work on the grounds that the settlements are illegal under international law. But the broader BDS movement does go beyond that. And I see these sort of two movements as not being mutually exclusive or not being in conflict with one another, but as being sort of important complements to one another and important parts of bringing these things into public consciousness and in moving towards, a just solution for everybody who currently lives in Israel and Palestine.
Thomas Woodley said that it is very exciting to see the success of the boycott of Israel and encourages those who might be torn on whether or not to boycott Israel.
I think it's something that you'd want to do according to your own personal conscience. There are some people that say, I can understand why, maybe we should boycott Israeli companies that are operating illegally in the settlement, but I don't want to boycott Israel overall. And I say that's okay. That's your take on the boycott. There are other people that say, well, I don't agree in the academic boycott because that stifles discussion, but I do agree with the consumer boycott, and that's okay. I think it's whatever you're personally called to do in terms of taking a stance of conscience on this is the right thing. So different individuals may have different ways of wanting Israel to do the right thing, and that's okay. We shouldn't sort of have a one-size-fits-all. You have to sign on in this way to this particular campaign. And so some people, as I say, may disagree with the cultural boycott, but may agree with the consumer boycott or whatever. And let's all be encouraged to do this out of principle. So this is the boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign, what they call the BDS campaign, is not going away. It's going to remain, and it's going to succeed, whether it takes another 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. It's going to succeed because Israel is doing things that are clearly against international law and just in violation of all that we hold dear in terms of human rights and the rights of individuals, the Palestinians.
For more information, you can visit the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid's website at caiaweb.org. and the Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East website at cjpme.org. This is Amelie Philipson for CKUT's News Collective.